spiritual warfare every day that we live. We have enemies that fight us, and those enemies are powerful enemies that are called demons. And I, as a pastor, see a lot of people who get defeated, and they don't seem to have the victorious Christian life. Some of them are defeated publicly, and we see that. Some of them are defeated privately, and we don't see that. They know it in their hearts. They know the struggles. They know the failures. They know the secret sins. But we all face a real enemy. And I believe one reason that people do not have the victory, constant and consistent, like we should have, is because we are ignorant to or refuse to put on the whole armor of God. And I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll begin reading with verse 10. As believers, we are supposed to put on daily the whole armor of God. And I want you to concentrate on these pieces of the armor today, because I have a hunch that some Christians have no idea what most of them mean. Or if they do, it's just a surface thing. But I hope God will open our hearts and minds and help us to recognize that we need to put on the armor of God, that it is there for us. Ephesians 6, and we begin reading with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That should be true of us, should it not? Be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Every believer here today should be strong in the Lord. Whether you're a boy, girl, or a teenager, or man or woman, we should be strong in the Lord. And so he says, put on the whole armor of God. Not part of it, but all of it. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The powers and the wiles and the strategy that Satan has to destroy you and me is real. It's absolutely real. Verse 12, he reminds us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, these are powerful beings he's talking about here. The first one is like a leader of them, the more powerful ones. But he's talking here about demons. And let me just stop here long enough to point out to you something that is important, I think, to realize. And that is that there are demons all around us, and they are in the air. They are there. Though you do not see them, they are real. We do not see the angels. We do not see the demons. But it doesn't change the fact that they're real. If you believe the Bible, you believe they're real. And so, Lucifer was a high archangel, and he chose to rebel against God because of pride. God gave them choice. If you want to know why, ask God when you get to heaven. But God gave them that choice. And so Lucifer, the archangel, rebelled against God. And there were 1/3 of the angels who could have stayed with God, who could have served God, that rebelled with Lucifer. And God kicked him out of the heaven in the sense of his very throne. Now they are working in the first heaven, but we're speaking of the third heaven. And only when God would give Satan permission would he be able to approach God. Lucifer became the one we know as the devil. He was the one active in the Garden of Eden. He is the one that is the arch enemy of all people today. He is the devil himself. 1/3 of those angels fell, and a good number of those angels are in the pit. They are in the abyss, in the pit of darkness today. But many of them are going around this whole world, and there are many of them who are trying to hinder and hurt and destroy Christians. I wish I had time to go into the study of angels and tell you that there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands and thousands of angels, the Bible says. There are myriads of angels, and God made them to serve Him. And so don't think that there's just a few out there. There are plenty of them. And they're all over this globe, and they're fighting. They are real. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We don't see our corporal enemy out there in the body. We don't see that. Sometimes we think that's what it's supposed to be, but it isn't. There are those demons and those evil influences that are hounding you every day, working against you every day, every minute of the day. They're trying to get you to do wrong and to do something that is discouraging and something that brings a bad name on the name of Christianity and causes you to fail and mess up and hurt the cause of Christ. How many of you believe that? Say amen. They're real. They're out there. They're here today trying to fight during this sermon. They will be involved in trying to distract you from one source or another, or something in your thought life to try to take you out in outer space while I'm preaching, or some of those things. The demons are here and the demons are working, but I thank God we don't have to be afraid of them, so don't be afraid of them. But there was an innumerable host of angels. But I want you to understand today, this is not a fairy tale. This is real. And they are battling us, and the devil fights the children of God all of the time. You'll notice as we read on that there's no armor for the back. There's no place for somebody who turns their back on God and becomes a coward as a Christian, other than their back that can be easily hit and they can be destroyed with the arrows of Satan. But he says in verse 13, wherefore, because we have enemies, because those demons are all around trying to trip us up and fight us and ruin us, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. God says it's only right that we as believers stand and stand firm and stand erect and stand victorious in the work and the cause of Jesus Christ. And so he tells us to put on the armor of God. Verse 14, he says, stand therefore, here's number one, having your loins girt about with truth. Gird up, therefore, is what he is saying. There's another verse in the Bible where he says, gird up the loins of the mind. Gird up the loins of the mind, the emotions, the thoughts of our mind. And he says in the Word of God to bring every thought into captivity. You ever have any bad thoughts? Sure you do. Some of you having one right now. You're thinking about eating instead of me preaching. You got a bad thought. Do you ever have a bad thought? Sure you do. Who puts that there? What do you do with it? You gird up those thoughts. You gird up the loins, the belt. That's what everything else hung on, by the way. That belt, that wide belt that the Roman... And Paul was chained to the Roman soldier so many times, he knew every part of it. Every time you find him, he's chained to a Roman soldier just about when he's incarcerated. And so he's using that analogy. And so there's that big, strong belt that they would wear, and all of these things would gird them up. And so he says, we're to gird up our loins, the loins of the mind, and bring every thought into captivity. And how are we going to do that? We've got to know what God has spoken. Amen. How are you going to do that unless you know what God has spoken? Gird about with truth. What is truth? The Word of God is truth. They sang about it a while ago. This is the book. It's the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. It is the infinite Word of Almighty God that will stand forever and ever. And so he says, take the truth of the Word of God and gird up your mind, gird up your loins with the truth. I can imagine some people in heaven going around and walking around, and they see a group of people, and over here they see some great patriarchs who wrote in the Old Testament. And one of them walks up and says, "Aren't you Ezekiel? I think you're Ezekiel, aren't you?" And he says, "I certainly am Ezekiel." He said, "Oh, it's so good to meet you." And Ezekiel says to him, "You know, I wrote a book in the Bible. Did you ever read it?" And he says, "Oh, you really did? You wrote a book in the Bible? I'm sorry, I never read it." "Well, here's Habakkuk. Did you read his book? Here's old Nahum over here. Did you happen to read Nahum's book? And so, Hosea, here's Hosea. Have you met him? Did you read his book?" "No, I'm sorry, I never read it." Listen, we ought to read the Bible, amen? Read it through. Some of you have never one time read through the blessed book of books. It is the holy word of God. We need to read it and read it and reread it and reread it. It's so important that we do that. Now, he tells us not only about girding up the mind, but he says we need to have the breastplate. The latter part of verse 14, we need to have the belt, and then we need to have on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. What righteousness is that? Is it the declared righteousness that God gave us when we got saved? No. You know why? Because God put that on us. By grace, through faith, we were justified and declared righteous by God. This is something that we are supposed to put on. And there's reference in Isaiah about the Lord Jesus Christ putting on righteousness. No doubt Paul got some of the thoughts under the power of the Holy Spirit from that past reference in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah. This is something that you do and something that I do. Not declared righteousness. This breastplate, by the way, covered the heart. The vital organ of the heart. If that could be destroyed, you are destroyed. And so he says, use the breastplate. Put on the breastplate. And that is something that is there that God gives us. And it is the breastplate of righteousness. What is he talking about? Living righteously before God. Choosing to do right and to choose to do right. And if you don't do that, you're going to be defeated. If you got little sins in your life and all of those things, friend, you're not going to win the battle. You're not going to do it. Some of you have secret sins in your life. Nobody knows about them but you and God. You are not going to win the battle. The devil is going to whip you. He's going to defeat you and your family and your life if you don't get rid of those things. It's righteousness, the breastplate of living right. Doing right. Doing what God has said is the right thing to do. And then you'll be protected and your heart will be protected. Is our heart right with God? And then he talks about, and we'll have to hurry as we cover these. Verse 15. He says not only the belt, which is so important, and the breastplate of righteousness, living right, choosing to do right, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We ought to have on the right kind of shoes. Those Roman soldiers had those big old steel sandals or shoes on with those knobs on the bottom of it. And God is saying to us that we need to have the right kind of shoes on. What kind? Two things I think he's talking about here. Number one, we ought to walk in such a way that we demonstrate to everybody around us that we are saved. We've truly been born again and got saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we're going to live right and we're going to walk right and show the whole world that we've been born again. But not only that, we are to have the good news, the gospel that we carry around with us to give to people everywhere we go so that they might be saved. You know, there's a very strong indication right here that unless we are faithful witnesses for God, we don't have on the whole armor of God. And if we're not soul winners, we are very apt to be defeated. That needs to be preached in independent Baptist churches all over the country, because it got totally silent right then. If I'd have said we're against homosexuality, we'd have had, "Amen, preacher." when it comes to soul winning and witnessing and telling others about Jesus Christ, we say, I'll let preacher do it, let the staff do it. No, bless your heart, you're supposed to be doing it. And every day, we're to put on the gospel shoes and go out and tell people every opportunity and make opportunities, seize the opportunities to tell them about Jesus Christ. And if we don't wear the gospel shoes, knowing we're saved, living right, and telling others, we're going to be defeated. You're not going to go very far if you don't have some shoes on. We had to, when I was in India a while back, we had to take our shoes off to go up to preach. We preached in our sock feet. That's just a custom that they had over there. And I think that's pretty good. They were saying, this is holy ground. By the way, this territory here should be respected. It's not a place for your kids to run up and down and holler and scream and slap the microphone. This is a distinctive place in the Church of the Living God. It's called the pulpit. This is the podium. This is the pulpit, what I'm standing on, and it ought to be respected like that. But over there, they went up. That was a sideline message right there. You got that one. We had to go up. And I remember one time I was sitting pretty far back from the very front area, and there were a lot of rocks. And they said, we're fixing to go over here now. Take your shoes off. And man, you should have seen all the preachers. Just, boy, we were just giving it that. Going across there, it was hurting. And I figured I'm going to have bruises and can't walk tomorrow. We had a little ways to walk. But I was sure glad when we had to pile our shoes up, and I was hoping I'd get my shoes back. And I got my shoes, and I thought, boy, this feels good to have shoes on. It really does. You take those things for granted until there's a situation like that. We need to have the shoes on. You're not going to walk right unless you're a witness. You're not going to walk right unless you have the gospel shoes on. And folks, I hope you take this seriously. This is not a little sermonette for you to say, well, that was pretty good, I'm going home. I'm giving you some instruction. This is how we live a victorious life for the glory of God in a society that is contrary to God, in a culture that says we don't want God. This is the way we live. In order to defeat the enemy, the principalities and the powers that are fighting us every day, everywhere. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And then in verse 16 he says, we need to have the shield of faith. The shield of faith. All right, we've got the girdle on and the breastplate and the shoes on. And now he says the shield of faith. I believe what he's talking about here is we have to have confidence in God, not confidence in ourselves. If you don't have faith, you're going to be nervous all the time. You ask if anybody worried, had any kind of problems. I'm telling you, there's some Baptists that worry so much. If it wasn't for fingernails to be bit off or pills to pop, they never would make it through a day. Listen, we've got to live by faith. Not question everything that happens to us. Not question everything that comes down the pike. We've got to live by faith. And if we don't live by faith, we don't show confidence in God, friend, you're going to be a miserable person. We've got to step out by faith, serve by faith, give by faith, witness by faith, live by faith. And if we live by faith, God is going to honor that and bless it. We've got to have the shield of faith. And he says it is very important, and you ought to concentrate on it above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All of the fiery darts of the wicked. I guess you know that Satan is throwing them at us and shooting them at us. The fiery darts of the wicked. You remember the great king in the Old Testament who went out and disguised himself in battle so that he wouldn't get shot, and somebody took an arrow and shot a bow and arrow and shot it at will, just shot it. And it found one place, a weakness in the armor, and went right through, and his blood was shed there in that chariot. Now, let me tell you, the devil knows, and he's looking for those weak places. And he tells us we need the shield of faith. And that shield is the thing that covers, no matter what direction it's coming from, no matter where he's shooting it at us, not the back, but always onward, forward Christian soldiers. We take that shield and we can take all of those fiery darts that are that are shot at us from the devil. And let me tell you, he has a bunch of them he's shooting. He has a lot of them that he's shooting at us. Reminds me of the story of the Achilles heel, the prince of Troy who abducted Helen, the story of Paris. And in it there's another story, the story of an army hero called Achilles. And the story is that his mother dipped him in the river in order for him to have a special power. And that was done, and she took him by the heel, and he was supposed to be invulnerable, except the heel, where she grabbed a hold of his heel. And that was where the story goes, that Paris, the prince of Troy, shot an arrow, and it had poison on it, and it struck Achilles in the heel, and he died. And we talk about the Achilles heel to this very day. Well, all of us have one. We better be careful. We better put on the armor. Take the armor of God, the shield of faith, and do what God tells us to do. And that shield is the shield that is going to protect us. And then he tells us to put on the helmet of salvation, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. What does he mean by that? He is saying, be sure that you're saved. You cannot defeat the devil if you're always going around wondering, am I saved today or am I lost? Am I saved today or am I lost? We believe in the theology that the Bible teaches, that once saved, always saved. You cannot lose your salvation. There is nothing in the Bible that teaches you can lose your salvation. You can lose the joy of it, like David did when he sinned, but you cannot lose your salvation. If you have it, you must be convinced that there's one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. You're a sinner. Jesus died for you. He paid your sin debt on the cross of Calvary. And if you will trust Him as Savior, you are then and there. If you believe it like you should, you're born again, saved, on your way to heaven, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And nobody or nothing can take that away from you. Do you know? You know you're saved today. If so, say amen. You see, you got to have on the helmet of salvation. You can't win the battle if you don't know you're saved. And we believe the doctrine that the Bible teaches us, once saved, always saved, that we know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then take the sword of the Spirit. In verse 17, he says, not only the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now let's be careful right here, and I'll throw something at you. You'll at first think it's not correct, but follow what I'm saying. The sword of the Spirit is not the Bible. The sword of the Spirit is not the Bible. See, I told you you'd look at me funny when I said that. The sword of the Spirit, in that word, can easily be translated at this point by another word. When he's talking about the sword of the Spirit, which is the saying of God, or the sayings of God. It is a Greek word that lends more to that particular word than anything else. And so I believe he's talking about that as he shows us what we must do. Now here's what I'm talking about. Follow what I'm saying. The devil attacks you, and you just take this Bible and just throw it at him. Just literally throw it across the room. You think that's going to bother him? It's not going to bother him. It's not going to bother him. This is the armory. This is filled with swords. It is filled with all of the things that are necessary to fight the devil. Go back and look at the Lord Jesus Christ whenever he was tempted by the devil. He didn't pick up the Old Testament and throw it at the devil, literally. What did he do? You know what he did. Here's what the devil said. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And Jesus didn't just throw the Old Testament at him, but he quoted. He took out one of the swords in the arsenal, and he took off after the devil with it. And he said, with this sword, this is a sword, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, He took a sword out of the armory, a sword out of the Word of God, and he said, I've got an answer for you. Well, the devil came back at him and said, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And what did he do? He reached in and got the sword out of the arsenal. And he took one sword for the right occasion, for this battle. And he said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He took a sword out of the arsenal. That's what we're talking about. After that, he tried to distort the Word of God and misquote the Word of God. And Jesus straightened him out and quoted it exactly the way it should have been quoted. He took the sword out of the arsenal of the Word of God. We don't throw the Bible at him. We need to pull some swords out and use those for God's glory. That's why, again, I say we need to know the Bible. That's why it's good to memorize Scripture. What is the sin that doth so easily beset you? What is the sin that doth so easily beset you? Is it pride? Then memorize a verse about pride. And when the devil tries to get your pride up, quote that to him and get back down where you belong. If it's depression, pick you out Philippians 4, 6, and 7, something like that. And I've quoted that so much. But when people are worried and they're depressed, the Bible says that we are not to worry about those things. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. All right, if you're the kind of person that's easily depressed, you ought to know where that sword is. Pull that sword out, and when the devil starts getting you down and making you have a pity party and feeling sorry for yourself, then quote the Scripture to him. Take the sword and whack his head off, so to speak. Take the Bible. That's what he's talking about. We need the sword of the Spirit. We need to know the Bible. The story is told of an old Scotsman, and the preacher had tried to teach him how to read. He couldn't read. And he took the Bible and went by ever so often, almost on a daily basis, and from the Bible, the book of John was teaching him how to read. And then this pastor, for some reason, got called away. A lot of that used to happen more so than now. They would have long, protracted revivals and so on and so forth. Finally, when he got back, he was so anxious to know if the man could read and how well he was reading the Bible and so on and so forth. And he came back and he met his wife. And his wife, he asked his wife, said, how's he doing? Is he reading the Bible? How's he doing? She said, oh, no. No, he's not reading much of the Bible. He's graduated to the newspaper. And he's reading the newspaper. Let me tell you, there are a lot of Christians, listen now, listen carefully, who have graduated to novels. Christian novels, too. They've graduated to newspapers. They've graduated to other books, government books, books on what's going on in our country right now, all kinds of things. And here's the problem. Not that any of those are problems, but the problem is we're neglecting the Word of God. And we have time for the newspaper, time for television, time to read a novel, time to read everything else, but we don't take time to memorize and study and read the Word of God like we should. You say, preacher, I do. I say, praise God. But I want to tell you, I would venture a guess, and if I was a betting man, and I'm not, I'd play all my wages in Las Vegas on the fact that the majority of the people in this church are not reading your Bible regularly like you should. You know why I know? It would change you so much, we'd have a revival. You say, oh, I preach you that. No, I'm telling you, if our people would get in this book every day and stay in it and have the kind of prayer life, I'll talk about it in a second, but I mean the book, and pull the swords out and use those against the devil when he's fighting us. In verse 18, he summarizes it. He adds something that's so vitally important. We have demons. We have enemies. The devil is fighting us. Folks, it's real. We need to put on prayer. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, praying always, he says. We need to hem all of this armor in with prayer. Bunyan made it part of the armor of God in the life of the Christian. And I can tell you that we need to pray. We need to go to God in prayer and spend time in prayer. These are the things, folks, that are going to let you win against the powers and principalities and the demons and all of those evil spirits that are out there trying to destroy you and cause you to mess up and foul up and sin and live a life that is secondary to the most glorious life, a surrendered, yielded, totally yielded life to the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil is shrewd. The devil is powerful, so powerful. Even one of the angels on one occasion had to face some of these demons out there and said, I can't handle it. He had to have the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Daniel, he talks about it in relationship to Daniel and the prayer that he had prayed. Friends, we have real enemies out there. Don't think they're not there. You don't have to be afraid of them. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But I'm telling you, he's going to fight you and try to whip you, and he is subtle, and he'll do it today before this day is over if you don't listen to the Word of God and put on the whole armor of God. If you'll do that, you'll live right. You'll be back in church tonight. Amen, preacher. Unless you're providentially hindered, and I understand that, all the demons of hell can't keep you out of God's house tonight if you're right with God. You'll be right back here. You say, once enough, a little dab of do you is good for me on Sunday. I wouldn't advertise my backslidden condition, friend. I wouldn't do it. That's what's wrong with our society today, is Laodicean Christianity. We need to put on the armor of God. We need to be winning the battle, not being defeated. And we can be, and we should be. All we've got to do is put it on. Put it on every day. Learn it. Be able to describe it. Be able to know what it's talking about. What I've told you today. If you say, I can't remember all that, buy the CD. If you don't have the money, we'll give it to you. Boy, that's dangerous to say to Baptists. But I feel so strongly that so many people just don't understand what's going on. Get that breastplate of righteousness on. Live right. And defeat the devil and have a victorious life. We ought to be the church on the go. The church marching forward, the church winning the battles, not turning our backs on the devil and running, and not having a spiritual Achilles heel where they can shoot those fiery darts from hell and the poison that the devil has in them to destroy our lives. And my dear friend, you'll never have any of this until first you come to Christ. You have to be born again before you can wear this armor. You can't wear it until you're born again. When you get saved, then you can begin to wear it and you can have victory. People say, why do people act like they do? Why do they do what they do? Why do we have perverts? Why do we have all of this? Because the devil is in charge. And he's in charge of yours, in case you didn't know it, until you get saved. And then after you get saved, put on the armor of God and live a happy life. Some of you are looking a little miserable right now. Live a happy life for the glory of God. Amen? Put on the armor. Live victoriously. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and mercy. Oh, thank you for instructing us in the book of books, telling us how we can win the battle over our arch enemy who hates you, who hates Jesus, who hates this church, who hates me, who hates every believer here. Oh God, you've given us the information. You've told us how to do it. Now help us to put it into practice. Help us every day when we get up to put on immediately, mentally, and in our heart the armor of God. To know what it means, to know how to handle it, to know where to go and get the sword out of the book to fight the devil when he fights us, that we can be winners. I pray for those that may be lost, that they would be saved today. I pray for Christians who recently have known the sorrow and the heartache of defeat, that they may come today get back on track, that they may go to the armor of God to give them that victory. Help us for Christ's sake. Amen.